The scripture today is James 2, verses 1 and 8 and 9. And that is, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors.
The first song that we used this morning for the pre-worship, "We All Bleed the Same." Well, as I was shaving this morning, I cut myself. And so, yes, we all bleed the same. So if you see anything down here on my chin, it's because the razor went a little bit too deep this morning. You know, we live in turbulent times. This morning was kind of turbulent. Cut myself with a razor. I lost my sermon for a while, came up here and looked on the podium and no sermon. That's not good. So I went around in the office, came back, and it was over on a table. So, great. Another turbulent thing. Went back to talk to Casey because there is a part that's going to be in the sermon from the sound system. The only problem was, for whatever reason, that was not on ZionWorks. So I had to go and punch that in. Turbulent times. Well, we're living in turbulent times. I was thinking the other day about 1968. I was 14 years old, I think, then. We had two assassinations, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We had Bobby Kennedy. We had a lot of cities that were on fire during that time, a lot of riots. Even during the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, huge riot. 1968 was a terrible, terrible year. But you know, 2020 hasn't been a bed of roses, though, either. We've had many things go on during 2020. How can God's church navigate these challenges and bring hope to a world that's lost its way? This morning we're going to have biblical insights concerning racism, reconciliation, and healing. This is the last Sunday of our racism series. There was once a young minister just out of seminary, who had an older minister that had recently retired. He's going to be his mentor. Now, the older minister made a statement to the younger minister that really opened his eyes, not in a positive way, and made the younger minister realize that racism does exist in our world today, and that he, the younger minister, would have to work hard to heal it through his time in the ministry. Needless to say, because of the racist comment by the older minister, they parted ways that day. The younger minister found another mentor. Evil thoughts are sinful and lead us to act in ways that are sinful. Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, "For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly." All these evils come from inside and make a man or a woman unclean. In light of all that's been going on in our world during these last several months, I felt led to take on the subjects of racism and reconciliation over these past three Sundays. At this time, we're going to view a video by Jackie Hill Perry. She is a writer, speaker, and even a hip-hop artist. In this video, she will discuss how churches can seek to uproot the sins of racism and insensitivity that can persist in a church. She feels that we must create a community that values the image of God in all people. So, Casey, at this time, if you can turn it on.
I think there are a lot of ways, but one in particular, I would think, is having a community and a body that is not silent about even the different subtle racist ways or biases that people can hold. And what I mean by that is I think sometimes people can say things flippantly or just make little snarky remarks, whether it's about a different race or someone in a different sociological position than they might be. And people just let it slide, or it's just, oh, that's just them, or that's just the culture they came from, or that's just how they grew up, or that's the things that their mothers used to say. But I think as a body and as a community, I think it's those little seeds that really work to harden our heart towards how we see people made in the image of God. And so I think one way that communities can work towards uprooting these kinds of things is simply calling sin, sin, and calling it out when you see it, gently, lovingly, with discernment. But I think we have to talk about those little things before we even get to the big ones. And so having a community that is honest, having a community that is confronting, having a community that is free to exhort and convict when needed and necessary, but also having an ear that is discerning to actually hear it in the conversations. And so being attentive, but not in a judgmental, self-righteous way, but in a, I want Black people, I want white people, I want Hispanic, I want Asian. When they come into our body, I want them to feel safe, and I want them to know that they are welcome, and I want them to know that God loves them and loves us, and that He has made us all in His image and for His glory. And so, yeah, a community that is honest and willing to have those hard conversations and correct and confront sin when necessary.
Racism is prejudice, discrimination, antagonism directed against someone of a different race based on the belief that one's own race is far superior. Racism is a sin that has no place in the heart of a believer. As Christians, we should work to dispel the hurt and the pain of racism in our society and to promote the love of Jesus for all humanity. A song that you know, red, yellow, black, and white, we are all precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children, and I'm going to add, and the adults of this world. God created all men and women and every nation, and He is near to all of them. In Acts chapter 17, verses 25b through 28a, the Bible says, He gives all men and women, life and breath and everything else. From one man He made every nation of men and women that they should inhabit the whole earth. And He determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. And God did this so that humanity would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. There are passages of Scripture that emphasizes equality towards one another. In John chapter 7, verse 24, the Bible states, "Stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment." Romans chapter 2, verse 11 states, "For God does not show favoritism. Esteeming one race over another was and is not God's will for humanity." We need to identify this racial injustice and work to get rid of it. Well, how can we reconcile one to another? How can we heal this nation? To begin with, to reconcile means to renew, to change our hearts and minds, to restore favor. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin to us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What can we do as believers in Jesus Christ to help our country that is reeling with injustice? Here are three things that we can do as believers this week as we are confronted with the injustices of racism. First of all, we need to pray. Pray that God cleanses our hearts of racial attitudes, actions, and beliefs. Pray that God cleanses our churches of racial attitudes, actions, and beliefs. Pray for wisdom, for healing, for reconciliation. Pray that the scriptures are correctly interpreted in the light of this subject. Secondly, we need to love. Love is an action word. Love your neighbors, as we heard in James this morning. Love those who are sitting beside us, living beside us, working beside us, in the street and across the street. Love regardless of race. Love like Jesus and be willing to show it sacrificially. Love without partiality or dissemination. You know how I like to bring vegetables to church from the garden. Had a whole bunch of corn. And I brought it here, and some people had taken the corn. But I thought, you know, some of the neighbors of ours, they probably don't have corn. So I went to a couple different places, and one guy in particular, we had not met. He lived catty corner across the street, and they just moved in not long ago. He looked at me and says, "What you got? Corn." "Really? You're giving me corn?" "Yeah. Would you like some corn?" "I guess I could take some." But it was just something that he and I had never conversed before. And he kind of wondered what my motives were. In our particular neighborhood, on either side of us, we have black neighbors. And he, catty-cornered from us, was also a black neighbor. But we hadn't spoken before. So it's just kind of interesting to see how he looked at the whole thing. Well, I had never made any movement to go over and chat with him. He hadn't come our way either, so this is kind of our first time. But I was just showing him that, yeah, we have some corn to give to you. Basically, love on an ear. You know, thirdly, we need to walk honestly and speak the truth in love. We must believe and speak the truth about racism, reconciliation, and healing. Even when it's unpopular, even when it's not politically correct, we must believe in each other, speak positively to one another, and model God's acceptance of one another. The dissemination of truth has to start somewhere, and it should start with God's people. We should use social media or any other way to promote reconciliation. Speak, post, and write words that heal. Do so in love. In this way, we are performing the ministry of reconciliation. We must be bold, but we also have to be compassionate. We must be wise and have an understanding heart. We must be open to both hear and speak truth from God's perspective. In Romans chapter 13, verse 12, the Bible states, "The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." In Zechariah chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, the Bible states, "These are the things you are to do. Speak the truth to each other and render true and sound judgment in your courts. Do not plot evil against your neighbor. Do not love to swear falsely. I hate all of this, declares the Lord." We are commanded to love one another. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, the Bible says, "If anyone says that I love God yet hates his brother or sister, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother or sister whom he has seen, God and cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother or sister." Hatred is an emotion. It's an action. It's a choice that we make. Hatred is sin. It does not represent anything that is God-like or even God-approved. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, the Bible states, "Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother or sister is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother and sister lives in the light, and there's nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother or sister is in darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him." You know, it's a challenge to identify and root out racial tendencies, especially in our own lives. But the sooner we identify these things and take care of them, the better off our life, God's church, and our community will be. Let us love one another, regardless of race. Amen.